You see, we need to be reproved. I need to be reproved. You need to be reproved. We still have these bodies of flesh. We still have our sinful desires that creep up on us. We have Satan who tempts us. And we need to be reproved to see that we're not thinking rightly, that we're not doing rightly, whatever it might be. We need to be reproved.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today we conclude our look at an exciting passage of Scripture in preparation for Nehemiah chapter 8.
Yes, we do, Dave, so let's get right to it. Turn with us to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're looking at verses 16 and 17.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address, again, is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. You know what? Don't pay attention to that stuff. It's going to take you on a ride you don't want to go on. Deceitful spirits, doctrines of demons. Now, he's going to explain what some of these doctrines of demons are. You'd think they're talking about witchcraft and Satanism. Well, no, look at what he says here. It's satanic, but it's much more deceitful. He says, by means of hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron, men who forbid marriage advocate abstaining from foods, doctrines of demons. You, if you don't get married, you're going to be more holy. You, if you eat certain foods, you're going to be more holy. You're going to be like Jesus. You know, there's this certain diet. It's what Ezekiel used. Do that. You're going to be more holy if you do that. Now, if you want to eat Ezekiel bread and whatever it is, have at it. The Lord says it's all good, okay? But if you think you're going to be more holy through that, that is a doctrine of demons. And these people shipwreck their faith. Notice what he says. Advocate abstaining from foods for which God has created to be gratefully shared by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. For it is sanctified by the means of the word of God and prayer. In pointing out these things, that's the doctrines of demons, to the brethren, that's who he's talking to, will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and sound doctrine which you've been following, but have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. You know, watch out when you get older. The temptation to try and take care of your physical ails leads you into these wicked areas with the doctrines of demons, this natural stuff. You know, I'm not talking about natural things in general. I'm talking about the natural philosophies that come in behind these things that are doctrines of demons. Stay away from them. Okay, so back to what we're saying. There are sound doctrine and there is unhealthy doctrine. And there's also those who twist the scriptures. Take a look at 2 Peter chapter 3. I'll just share this. He talks about the untaught and unstable who distort the scriptures as they do the rest of scriptures to their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, knowing beforehand, be on your guard, lest being carried away by the error of unprincipled men, you fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory now and to the day of eternity. Amen. There's bad doctrine out there, but there's sound doctrine from God's word. And that's what we are to be taught. God's word, the scriptures, are profitable. You see, those doctrines of demons, it doesn't say anywhere in scripture you should eat this and not eat that. It doesn't say that. God's word says, hey, give God thanks and enjoy it, right? See, it's sanctified by the word of God and prayer, right? So sound doctrine comes from the word of God. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for doctrine, for that which is taught. That should be the center of all of our teaching, everything we do. All scripture is beneficial to teach us. It is the framework for which we are taught. One more passage I want to share. So just right past our passage, 2 Timothy 4. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge, the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That's sound teaching. That's healthy teaching from the Word of God, right? They can't endure it, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside to myths, or you could say stories. You're going to turn aside. That's because they can't endure healthy teaching, that which is taught. So first of all, it is profitable for that which is taught. And then notice, it's also profitable for something else. All scripture is inspired by God, back in 2 Timothy 3:16, and profitable for teaching, and then for reproof. It's profitable for reproof. That implies that we need to be reproved. We're going to see every one of these things. We need to be taught. We need to be reproved. We need to be corrected. We need to be trained in righteousness. And this one here, the second one, is profitable for reproof. For proselegmon. The term elegmon speaks of bringing to light. Bringing to light, exposing or setting forth. You see, scripture is beneficial, all of it, to reprove us, to bring to light, to convict us, as we will see, of sin. It's profitable to bring to light, to expose our sinfulness. And as we'll see, it's the Spirit of God through the Word of God that convicts us, that reproves us. It's actually the same word used in John 16:8. And when he comes, speaking of the Spirit, he will convict, or literally reprove, bring to light the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. The Spirit of God convicting, bringing to light. The Apostle Paul told Titus to reprove with all authority. These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you. And he just spoke about, hey, how should we function within old men, old women, younger women? How do they function? Workers, how are we to function in the body of Christ? Don't let anyone tell you not to speak this. Speak it with authority and reprove with all authority. You see, we need to be reproved. I need to be reproved. You need to be reproved. We still have these bodies of flesh. We still have our sinful desires that creep up on us. We have Satan who tempts us. And we need to be reproved to see that we're not thinking rightly, that we're not doing rightly, whatever it might be. We need to be reproved. And those who are being reproved are those who want to be reproved. You look in Proverbs, and we'll look at some passages later on, those who are the Lord's are the ones who are being reproved. They don't put it aside. They don't push it aside. They actually want to be reproved. It's the same word we have in Matthew 18. If your brother sins, go and reprove him in private. It means to expose it, to bring it to light. But how do you bring it to light? With the scriptures. All scripture is profitable for reproof. It's the Word of God, through the Spirit of God, through God doing that, that reproves us. That's what happens. There's a myriad of passages I could speak of in reproof, but let's turn to Proverbs chapter 1 for a minute. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22. How long, O naive ones, will you love simplicity, and scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge? This is God, through his word and wisdom, offering something. Turn to my reproof. Let God reprove you with his word. Turn to God's reproof. He says, behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I'll make my words known to you. Isn't that great? Have the right attitude. Turn to God. Let him reprove you, okay? Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. You neglected all my counsel, did not want my reproof. You could tell if you want your reproof by what church you go to. I'll tell you that right now. By what you listen to in the word and who you're being taught by is going to tell you if you want it or not. It says here, and did not want my reproof, rejected my counsel. I will laugh even at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm, your calamity comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come on you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they shall not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. If you're not wanting to hear what God says about your life, convicting you of sin, if you don't want to hear it, you're going to pay for it. You're going to pay down the road, and it's not going to be pretty. It's going to be very bad, as we see here. A lot of other passages about reproof. Look at Proverbs 3:11. I'll just read these. There's a lot of them. You can either turn to them if you want, or you can just listen and note down the references. Proverbs 3:11, my son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. You know, he reproves us. Proverbs 5:11, and you groan at your latter end, your flesh and body are consumed, and you say how I hated instruction, how I spurned reproof. You get to that point where you realize, man, because I didn't let God reprove me and correct me, I'm in the spot I'm in. Not good. Proverbs 29:1, a man who hardens his neck after much reproof will suddenly be broken beyond remedy. Proverbs 10:17, he who is on the path of life heeds instruction, but he who forsakes reproof goes astray. Proverbs 12:1, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. God says that. Proverbs 13:18, poverty and shame will come to he who neglects discipline, and he who regards reproof will be honored. Proverbs 15:10, stern discipline is for him who forsakes the way, he who hates reproof will die. Proverbs 15:31, he whose ear listens to the life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. Proverbs 15:32, he who neglects discipline despises himself, but he who listens to reproof acquires understanding. It's God's word that brings reproof. It's God's word that is profitable, beneficial for it. And as I mentioned earlier, 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. If you are not hearing that in the preaching of the word, either you have a hard heart, you're not hearing it, or it's not being brought forth. God's word should reprove you, and it should come through the preaching of the word. It should be exposing sin. And by the way, your choice of church reveals how you respond to reproof. If you choose the little 26-minute happy time Jesus sermon that says that's biblical, it's showing where your heart is towards reproof. You need to be in the word of God, where God's word is reproving you, where it's exposing. It's exposing. Now, given being exposed, isn't that fun? I don't think any of us like being reproved. If you've ever had someone come to you to reprove you something, not biblically speaking, but something that's going, they say, hey, we don't like that. We don't like in our nature being reproved, but we need to learn to love it because it's the first step in being made right with the Lord. You see? Because God has to expose the sin. But then notice what he does in our passage. All scriptures inspired by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, and for correction. You see, correction is God's provision for those who accept his reproof. If you accept him exposing you're wrong, then he will correct you. The word is a Greek word. It's a wonderful word. It's three parts here. Epi, ana, orthoson. Epi is upon, ana is again, orthoro is to make straight. We get orthopedics from that. The idea is to set up something straight again. It spoke of things that were knocked over, that were set up straight again. It spoke of a broken bone that was set straight again. It's correction. It's something that was wrong that was made right. You see, and all scripture is profitable for this. It's profitable to make straight again. Isn't that great? Because we become unstraight. We become spiritually broken at times, and God exposes our sin. But he doesn't leave us in that pit of conviction. It should move to correction, to change us, to transform us, to make us more like Jesus. You see, God makes us straight again through his word, and his correction is the provision for those who will accept his reproof. His word reproves, his word corrects. It's that which is taught. And then notice, it's also profitable for training in righteousness. The fourth thing, the word training, paideia, comes from the Greek word pais, which means child. Paido was the original Greek word for children. It's where we get our word pediatrics. Paideia means to educate. Pedagogy means to educate children. It speaks of the process of rearing and bringing a child to maturity through training, instruction, and correction. The process of rearing and bringing a child to maturity through training, instruction, and correction. It's the same word often used in Hebrews for the word discipline. God disciplines the ones he loves. He trains us. And that training is that which is profitable for us. It's beneficial, right? God's word brings it about, but it's, as we're going to see, it's profitable. So God's word is profitable for training. All scripture. Training in what? righteousness. Righteousness is a characteristic and quality of our God. Our God is righteous. Our God is upright. Our God is holy. And we, before we came to Christ, were unrighteous. And when we were saved, God gave us his positional righteousness in Christ. We were forgiven of our sins. But he wants us now to walk differently, to walk in righteousness, to hunger and thirst for his righteousness, to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, to respond righteously. And we learn what that is in his word because it reveals what his righteousness is in every circumstance that we need to understand and know. And it is profitable for righteous, for training you and you and you and me in how to be righteous in every circumstance. Not that we're going to get there in this life, but we're going to get more and more like Christ. We're going to grow. For training, we're children in the faith, and we are growing and being trained in righteousness. God is gracious, and we see this righteousness in what God does through his word. He does it through his word. John 17:17, sanctify them in the truth, Jesus prayed. Thy word is truth. Set them apart from sin unto him, unto righteous behavior, righteousness. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Then that same grace is instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age. God, through his word, is instructing us now to do this, to live righteously. And God's word, all scripture, is profitable to train you and to train me in righteousness. It's training. I'm being trained like a child. You know, when a child gets trained in their childhood, you see the fruit of that later in their life. If they're responsive, you see a change in them. And if we allow God, our Heavenly Father, to train us, there's going to be a change in our lives. We're going to be more and more like Jesus. And it is through God's word alone that trains us in righteousness. And like we see in the discipline of Hebrews 12, this training in the gym of God's discipline brings the peaceful fruit of righteousness. If you are living in sin, you don't have peace, okay? If you got sin going on, you don't got peace. If you are letting God train you and he is manifesting his character in you, you're becoming more and more righteous. There's a peaceful fruit in that. When you don't respond wrongly in sin, but God restrains you and helps you respond rightly, there's a peace in that. There's a peaceful fruit in righteousness. There's a peaceful fruit in him using his word to change us to be more like his son, Jesus. The peaceful fruit of righteousness. But it's a process. And that process is over this life. It's called sanctification. And God uses his word. And it's a wonderful thing. Yes, I don't like being reproved, but I do like it. Because I want to be corrected. I want to be changed. The proverb says, reproofs for the way of life. So God corrects and then he trains. And then notice there's a purpose here. That the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. It's going to qualify it. God's man or woman, the man of God. This is a believer. This is not a non-believer. Scripture doesn't equip any non-believers to anything. Scripture convicts of their sin that they might trust in Jesus Christ. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. But for us, the man of God, and I believe he's insinuating Timothy, you man of God. He said that earlier. The man of God. He's talking to Timothy, right? That the man of God, and it could speak of us in Christ, right? You bet. That the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. The term may be here is the purpose. That it's profitable for all these things unto this purpose. That you may be literally, continually, habitually adequate. The term means sufficient for the task at hand. Sufficient. That you may be continually adequate. And then it says in a perfect tense, having been equipped. Having been equipped in the past, and that equipping is working on you now so that you are sufficient. God's word equips us. The term equip here spoke of a fully furnished rescue boat. Everything it needed to do the task. And so God makes you continually, habitually adequate. We're not adequate to consider anything that's coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. And if we allow his word to work in us, then we're going to be adequate, continually, habitually, having been equipped. And then what does he say? For what? For every good work. Is it adequate equipped for my plans, my life? No, it's for every good work. God has us and has saved us to do good things. God's a good God. I'm not talking about goody-two-shoes stuff. I'm talking about good works. Those are actions. Those are deeds that God brings forth in the life of a believer that glorify Him. They will see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You know, Ephesians chapter 2 talks about this. It says very clearly that we've been saved unto good works. We've been saved. For by grace you've been saved by faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then he goes on to say, for we are his workmanship, or his poem in a sense, created in Christ Jesus for good works that we might walk into them. When we trust Christ, we walk into these good works. The good things He has purposed before the foundation of the earth for us to do. These good works. Tremendous, wonderful reality. You see, if we abide in Him and His words in us, Jesus says in John 15, ask whatever you wish, it shall be done. By this is my Father's glorified, that you bear much fruit, so prove to be my disciples. But God uses His word to do that. So we need to be with a right heart in the Word of God. We need to allow it to convict us, to correct us, to train us, and it needs to be that which we are being taught. So my question is, do you understand clearly what God's Word does, what God's Word is profitable for? You may not notice this, but my sermons are centered around this. When I apply what is convicting, I apply what is correcting, I apply what is training, I apply what is taught. Those things, those applications come out of these profitability things, these things that God says it is profitable for. So then, how are you doing? How do we grow in our relationship with Jesus? I'm not talking about just a feel-good thing. I'm talking about how do we grow in godliness and in our relationship with a holy God. It's through His Word, all Scripture, that is His very Word to us, by His Spirit, that He changes us and transforms us into the image of His Son. And He does that through the teaching that which is taught. He does that by reproving us. He does that by correcting us, making us straight again. He does that by training us in righteousness, that we would be sufficient all the time, having been fully equipped. So are you equipped? Are you fully equipped? Are you ready? Are you sufficient in Christ? The question is, how is the Word working in you? Well, maybe there are some of you who recognize, hey, this is totally foreign to me. I'm not anything like this. I don't like reproof. I don't feel like I've been corrected. I don't feel like I'm righteous at all. And maybe you aren't. Maybe examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. And God's Word reveals a sufficient Savior, Jesus Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And then for us, maybe we've strayed in our hearts. We've set aside God's Word. We've got consumed by the things of this world and the things of the day. We need to get our eyes back on Jesus and let Him reprove us. Let Him correct us. It's wonderful. And let Him train us in righteousness, that we would be continually adequate, having been fully equipped.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we close, can you summarize again, how is it that we grow in our relationship with Christ, or how is it that we manifest fruit?
Well, Dave, how is it that we grow in our relationship with Christ? How is it that we manifest fruit?
Well, Dave, it's through having a right heart and being in a position to receive the continual teaching, reproof, correction, and training for righteousness through the Word of God. That is how we are made adequate, equipped for every good work. It's just that simple.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you're receiving spiritual benefit from equipping the saints, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? Every gift makes a difference. No gift is too small, and every dollar is put right back into the ministry. To send a gift to Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to donate online, our web address is etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.